All right, we have found her, a.k.a. Lucy. That is the name of this book. Yet another book about Lucille Ball, the author Sarah Royal. I'm glad we found you. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for finding me.
It's going okay. Thank you. So I'm curious, of all of the interviews you've done, and yet another Lucy book. There are so many. And I have some questions about that. By the way, if you have questions, friends, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text your questions. My question is, why another Lucy book? What was it that, because there have been so many written. And by the way, so here's what I was going to ask. Of all the interviews you've done, have you talked to someone yet who interviewed you that actually knew her?
I mean, I have not, actually, which is pretty fabulous. So there you go. At least not to my knowledge. So I'm excited that not only did you know her, but that you're also very good friends with her longtime secretary. So very exciting.
Yeah, I was just out to see Wanda Clark. And that's her longtime secretary. Yeah, she lives in Oklahoma. And she said, did you see this? So she walks away and comes back holding your book. And she she loves Amy Poehler, and Amy Poehler wrote the foreword to the book. So let me continue asking, because I'm asking seven things at once because I'm so excited to talk to you. So one is Lucy herself would be amazed that all of these years later, I mean, she passed away, I think it was 1989, that all of these years later, that people would still be interested and even more amazed but excited that the shows continue to air. I don't think the publisher would have published your book, as great of a writer as I'm sure you are, and it is a good book, and the images are great, some of them I hadn't even seen before, if they weren't, because it's a business, if they weren't going to say, okay, we'll sell a lot of books. There is something about her that all these years later still resonates. What do you think that is?
Well, I mean, that's a fabulous question. Like you said, there's so many books about her, but there's something to how even for, you know, younger people today who maybe didn't even watch her on reruns, say, or definitely didn't watch her when she was originally on the air in her multiple television shows. But there's something about when you see her perform that feels familiar and really accessible to you. Even, you know, again, all of these years later, if you watch an episode of I Love Lucy, like, yes, it's in black and white, and yes, it takes place during the 50s, and it is, you know, quote-unquote out of date in a lot of ways. But you can sense sort of a familiarity in the way that she's performing that you can trace down through modern comedians like Amy Poehler or in television shows or movies and comedy and female performers that you enjoy today. So I think that, you know, you kind of almost unconsciously in some ways grasp the fact that she is largely responsible for modern comedy careers, and particularly those of women.
Absolutely true. You know, and last year there was Amy Poehler, in fact, was the producer of a documentary about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Absolutely.
And also there was a feature film. And it's amazing that, yes, there is still relevancy, and the thing about those shows, and Lucy loved it this way. This was no accident that something would happen. She would get into trouble, but there would always be a quote unquote happy ending. And the other thing is that she kind of always, if you will, landed on her feet no matter what happened, because people, no matter what physical hijinks she got into, people she thought would be concerned if there was a real danger. So they never, on purpose, presented it that way. What do you think about? Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I think it's that accessibility thing, right? And it's also the promise of a lot of the reason why people watch comedy, right? It's to feel lighthearted, but you know, you can point to many shows that are sort of black comedy, if you will, that are really, you know, like long lasting or that people find very compelling, but there still isn't that heart and that relatability to it. So I think the fact that, like, she definitely in all of her shows and performances made sure that that was part of the formula, so to speak, is that there, you know, there was always love behind it. There's also, it's funny, Lucy Arnaz, Lucy's daughter, had commented once, and I quote this in my book, where she basically says, you know, okay, my, you know, my mother's legacy of is, of course, the laughter, but it's the love behind the laughter. It's the reason that you're laughing together with an audience, that you're trying to do something relatable to show that it's all going to be okay, sort of no matter how much trouble you get into. So yeah, there's like this unconditional love and acceptance behind a lot of her comedy and a lot of her performances. And honestly, that was, you know, core to her as well. As I point out in the book, I mean, she was a very different person, as you know, in real life than a lot of her on-screen personalities. But there still was always that love and endearment. And I think that that's why her as a subject as a whole, not just her characters, is so compelling. And, you know, the reason why we're still making movies and writing books about her.
Yes. We're talking to Sarah Royal on WGN. Steve Dale here. She is the author of A.K.A. Lucy, a beautiful book. You just heard from I Love Lucy, the Vitamita Vegemin routine. And she actually said that was the hardest thing she ever did, Sarah, because she had a memory. Yeah. I mean, she did that all in one take. And she pointed out that today that would never happen.
I think what's interesting is that, you know, again, something that a lot of people don't really know about Lucille Ball is that she wasn't really naturally funny, and she worked really, really hard behind the scenes. So I think that that scene is such a testament to her dedication to get every single detail, inflection, look, you know, and obviously in that particular case, her, you know, continued and increasing being inebriated. Exactly correct. So it's just, yeah, it's just such a perfect testament. Like you said, you could see, especially with today's modern film techniques, that you could have that spliced from, you know, 17 different takes and take each individual one perfectly. But she did it all at once.
Yeah, she did. And she said she didn't even know how she did that. At the point that I spoke to her, I mean, it was much later in her life. And she said, I don't know. I mean, how did I do that? I mean, cue cards didn't exist back then. And she said, right. I don't even know how I did it. But you're right. It was about rehearsing and rehearsing. I mean, she was such a good actress, I believe, and made it look so easy, particularly with Ethel Mertz, or Vivian Vance, the actress that played Ethel Mertz, that people thought so much of it was ad lib, which I want you to comment on, because that is the text question. She must have been great at ad libbing. Well, texter, I'm sorry, she wasn't. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. You know, she has a famous line where, like, one of her most hated words is improv. But I think that is such a testament to a great comedian, great performer, as you were saying, that she was able to sell that. And I think that today, you know, we are used to thinking of comedians as, you know, oh, just, hey, say a funny line, you know, and like putting them on the spot. But that's not always the case. And for Lucy's case, she didn't like ad-libbing. She didn't like improv, not only because it didn't come naturally to her. She always, again, talked about her daughter as being naturally funny. And in a lot of ways, her, you know, her husband, Desi Arnaz, was naturally funny, or at least charismatic in a way. He was able to grasp, you know, a script that the writers wrote for him on I Love Lucy quite quickly, whereas Lucy had to really view it from all angles. She would interview people. She would play off of co-stars, like you said, Vivian Vance, and make sure that each time and every piece of sort of the puzzle that she was doing it in the funniest possible way to be received. So I think the fear of improv, or the fear of ad-libbing, of course, comes from like, well, no, I have all these professionals together here, right? I've got my writers, I've got my prop man, I've got my co-stars, I've got, you know, all of the training in radio and movies and even in modeling earlier in her life to draw upon. Why would I ever throw all of that out the window for chance?
What gave you the idea to do this book in the first place?
Well, I think, you know, again, building on the popularity from Amy Poehler's recent incredible documentary to, you know, being the Ricardos, the feature film, and just sort of that energy, like I was talking about before, of there's a lot of modern comedians who are constantly referencing Lucille Ball as an idol, or, you know, a comedic idol. You know, again, Deborah Messing comes to mind in addition to Amy Poehler. Will and Grace did some, you know, an homage to I Love Lucy. You know, there's so many references that are sort of like this meta text today. And her shows, of course, are still, you know, being broadcast, and they're still available for streaming in a lot of senses. So it's just sort of another interesting time. But what's interesting is also there's been biographies, of course, and her own very amazing autobiography, too. But there hasn't really been a book that looks at her in like a fully modern lens. And what we did with this project was also make it so it's a very beautiful book. I mean, the illustrator, yes, Tim Palin, did a fabulous job. Make it so that it almost looks like a coffee table book if you pick it up, but you open it and you say, oh, wow, it's actually a biography, but it's not a traditional sort of chapter one, chapter two, chapter three biography. You can skip around, you can poke around, you can open up a spread that talks about why exactly she's so funny. You can read about certain I Love Lucy episodes. You can dig into her later years, her earlier years, what have you. So it's sort of meant to be a more accessible biography for people who really don't enjoy biographies. And of course, very visual, more so than like, the 10 insert photos you typically get.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love, it's my favorite part of your book, is you take all these I Love Lucy episodes and you describe the episode, the premise, the famous bit, because there always is one, mm-hmm, in the episode.
Yeah.
And then there's a section called for each episode, Behind the Scenes. And
yeah,
you go behind the scenes. And one episode, of course, is Lucy's Italian Movie. Friends, you know that episode. Lucy's Italian Movie? What is that? Ooh, grapes. And that's all you'd have to say. And even today,
yep,
that's all you'd have to say. So I want to hear what your version is. I'll tell you what Lucy told me. She said, mm-hmm, and she describes the story, and she's told it many times, that
yes,
they used real Italian women that did, mm-hmm, this, and it was even back in the 50s, there weren't many that were actually grape crushing the old fashioned
way. It was changing.
Yeah, exactly.
Still the old fashioned way. Yeah.
And well, she said that they were told to push her down, and then let her up so she can get an arm up for the camera, a leg up for the camera, and the person either didn't understand or whatever and really didn't do it. And she thought she was going to drown in this vat of grapes, which she said felt like giant eyeballs she was swimming in.
Right, right. Yeah, she actually told that story, like you said, many times. The appearance that actually anybody can view on YouTube is on the Dick Cavett Show in 1974. And she quips like, to drown in a vat of grapes, not exactly the way I had planned to go. Right? So I think your point of how they used, they actually traced down the origins of like how would a traditional grape stomper stomp the grapes, as opposed to just saying, let's make it up based on what we know about this, right? This was her perfectionist detail, and that behind the scenes is we have to get this exactly right. We need to find the real grape stompers. They should be Italian, right? They need to do everything to have that believability that's inserted into this sort of absurd world, right? Like, there's very few moments on I Love Lucy in particular that's like very out of this world, very outlandish. A lot of the stuff is real. Even episodes where, the famous episode where Pioneer Women, where there's a gigantic piece of, the gigantic loaf of bread that pops out of the oven, obviously impossible, within the scene. They actually made that real bread. They had iron workers forge a special pan for it, and they had a bakery make a special piece of bread for it, to the point where they were actually handing out slices to the live studio audience. So it's just like the commitment to building this world to have the comedy in is, it all goes part, back to that, like, no ad libbing, no improv. Like, we're going to build this together and we're going to do it the best possible way.
Speaking of audience, she told me that she would watch Three's Company, which was one of her favorite shows. And
yeah,
here,
John Ritter.
Yeah. And she loved John Ritter. And here, people she knew, because they were using Laugh Track, and they still do today, on shows. The
yeah,
Laugh Tracks you hear are from, very often, I Love Lucy. And she said, I would recognize my mother Dee Dee's laugh. I would recognize
yep,
people. And I said, isn't that great that you would recognize, particularly your mom, because she had passed away at that point, all of
yes,
this laughter? And she said, well, sort of. You
yeah,
know, meaning
yeah,
she was actually a very sentimental person, in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I love the book. I so wish we had more time to talk, but you could pick it up yourself. AKA Lucy, The Dynamic and Determined Life of Lucille Ball. Sarah Royal, ooh, the author of the book, Amy Poehler, did the foreword. I thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Oh, pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was mine. I'm glad you did the book. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And more important, Wanda Clark loves it. Thank you so much.
I mean, that's all you need to know, listeners.
Yeah, you're not kidding. That's Lucy's longtime secretary. Thank you, Sarah.
Take care.